Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's up, Clint? How y'all doing, man?
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley, with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big Three at Three. Number one.
All right, number one, as we just talked to John Harris, who was out at camp, and the news coming out of there is Titus Howard. Doesn't seem like, especially with him and his response, that maybe the injury is as serious as the headline read. Titus Howard carted off in the Texans practice field in Ohio.
No, God!
Well, also, what occurred, according to people out there reporting, Aaron Wilson, that Titus Howard was leaving the field with a trainer and walked under his own power. That also confirmed by Titus Howard's tweet of, damn, I thought I walked off. as he headed inside and was on a cart. To me, Clint, it feels like we've seen situations where a guy has had an injury, been nicked up, and they just wanted to put him on the cart to get to where they needed to get him faster than to make him move on. I'm not sure if that is it. I'm just saying the way that Titus reacted and how, you know, Aaron Wilson said it's clear he walked off on his own power, that seems like it could have been one of those situations.
Well, look, I think you can explain with the bad weather why he would come off the field if something was tweaked or if something just didn't feel right. You could that explains why he wouldn't go back on the field. Bobby Slowick is on record after practice talking today about the issues that the weather presented, and one of them was the offensive line and pass protection situations were really struggling with their feet. So that makes sense why you wouldn't push him directly back out there. And again, the weather, and I don't know exactly how bad it was, but if it wasn't just a clear day, you would want to throw a guy in a cart and say, man, let me book it back to the training room, wherever we're at, the locker room, so you can get cleaned up and we can get some treatment started right away. That doesn't, you know, that none of that surprises me. None of that concerns me. Now, we'll obviously see what the reports say. We'll see what tomorrow looks like. And you know, we've seen, as you mentioned earlier, Blake Fisher get carted off literally and then practice the next day. Yep. So hopefully it's one of those situations with Titus Howard, and it's not one of those where he's going to miss this preseason game and is not going to be able to go for a week or 2 weeks. So we'll see. But on the other side of it, it is very, understandable the importance of Titus Howard to this football team. You look like you're going to be an 11 personnel offense with three wide receivers on the field and a tight end, and you're going to sling this thing around the park. That's the part you feel like you can really lean on, that you know about this team. Titus Howard is an integral part of that at that right tackle position, especially with this schedule that they're going to play. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if D'Amico Ryan said, hey, let's pump the brakes on that big fella as well. And there's no reason, Hell, we're still, what are we a month away from the first regular season game? There's no reason 3 weeks to a month away from first regular season game to get this guy banged up and have to deal with that throughout camp.
So you could be looking at, depending on, we'll see what the injury is. Like you said, they had something over the weekend with Blake Fisher, who was taken off and driven in with a cart, didn't return to practice just like this, but he returned the next day. Hopefully that is it. But if he is not able to go, if they're wanting to be precautious with him and just say, hey man, we'll just chill, just had this injury. I mean, they're potentially looking at Blake Fisher starting on one end because I don't think Tunzel's playing, or David Sharp, or then Cam Irving, who just got in because Charlie Heck is dealing with that injury with his foot as well. So maybe not the ones at the tackle spot, but Blake Fisher is somebody you could see getting some run potentially if there was an injury at some point. But they could be without their two starting tackles in this game where they're trying to get some reps with the one. So that is one to look out for and to see if Titus Howard, like if Titus Howard misses tomorrow, probably even increases the odds that he won't.
Yeah, if he's not back out there tomorrow, you've got to start looking for the injury report to see what exactly is wrong with him, and then you got to think maybe they're just going to shelve him, like they're going to treat him like they did Joe Mixon. Is the first sign of a little you get two or three practices of Joe Mixon where you see how good he is. And they're talking about all these, the GPS is throwing these crazy numbers out, and then all of a sudden he tweaks something, and you go, well, if that's the back that we're going to get, let's not tweak things a month and a half before the regular season starts. So he may get some of that veteran treatment that you see Laremy Tunsil, Joe Mixon getting if it was a scare. If not, and everything is all good, then I would love to see him go this week with C.J. Stroud.
Yeah. We'll see that. And speaking of seeing him go, Clint, I think he's not going to be the only one we're watching for tomorrow's practice. They've got some guys that have been out for multiple days, and including Kamari Lassiter, who John Harris was just talking about. He has not practiced since they've been in Ohio, John just said. He's missed the last 2 days. Jeff Okuda, be a good time for you to get in there to be getting some reps right now. But he has been out for the last couple of days. Will Anderson has missed his second straight game. Brevin Jordan, Charlie Heck, who we mentioned, Des King didn't play. Joe Mixon, as we've talked about, but Tim Settle didn't play. Tegan Quartoriano had the calf. We saw him. He actually did get carted off at the Hall of Fame game. Noah Brown, he didn't practice. Christian Harris hasn't practiced from the get-go. Obviously, Denico Autry, although he is eligible to play in these preseason games, but he didn't practice as well. And then Tunzel has been off all offseason. That's a lot of guys that you expected to get run in this game. Several starters in there
that looks like.
So it's going to be interesting to actually see how many ones are playing in this game on Friday.
Yeah, look, I mean, when I look at that list, it would be easy for me to arrive at a place of, one, the decision is made on these guys. They're going to be a big part of what this team looks like moving forward in the regular season, with the exception of Charlie Heck. Like, Charlie Heck's got, there's a chance he may not make the team with all these injuries keeping him off the field, with Blake Fisher getting all this run. They just brought in, Cam Irvin, they just brought him in. There's a chance Charlie Heck, but with the exception of that, the other 10 or 11 guys on that list, you might as well go on and just, well, I mean, you should. Des King's obviously on this list, so there ain't no telling what's going to happen. But all of these guys should be on this roster and be big-time contributors to some degree. So you may be able to chalk some of this up to, hey, man, they got a decision to make at that fifth and sixth wide receiver position. So Noah Brown, you're a veteran long in the tooth. You may not need a whole hell of a lot of run here. That made Kamari Lassiter, Jeff Okuda. I would say that those two guys are safe on this roster, obviously, as well. Who's going to be the fourth and fifth potential corner? What do those guys look like? So you may be able to chalk some of this up to rest. You may be able to chalk some of this up to the competition below the starters for that second string level needing to get some run and the coaches getting some film and some look. It's tough to play a game with 40-some-odd guys. Yeah. Not being there, it's tough to have a practice missing that many starters. It's
interesting to see what the issue is with Kamari Lassiter, because you wouldn't want him to miss. Like, now this would be the second opportunity that he could have had to play.
Well, John Harris is really convinced. D'Amico Ryans appears to be really, really convinced.
You want him to get out there and play a game.
If they're that convinced about him, then it doesn't seem like there's a lot of let me see what this guy's got associated with preseason week two.
We'll see. They play the Steelers coming up on Friday. Tomorrow's going to be a big day to see how many of these guys remain on the injury report and to get maybe what they'll do with them to see if these guys, how many of these guys will actually play in the game on Friday if they don't practice tomorrow.
Big 3-3, number 2.
That ball hit high and deep to right field, and this game's over. Josh Smith walks it off. Rangers down to their final out of the 10th. And the Astros lose in a heartbreaker 4-3. A two-out home run in the 8th ties it, and a two-out home run in the 10th wins it.
It felt like it ripped my nuts off.
Mm. Well, I thought somebody from inside said it. Listen, the Astros, they get walked off by the Rangers. And they struggled offensively again, scoring 3 runs in 10 innings, but they only had 2 in the first 9. As they've scored 4 runs in their last 3 ball games that have all resulted in losses. So they're struggling continually at the plate. Here is Joe Espada with his comments about the struggles at the plate.
Giving them such a small margin for error when you're not scoring runs, I guess, how hard is it to keep asking?
Yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy. And, you know, we're going through that stretch where we all got to, you know, stay together, grind through this as a team, and we'll get out of this. We'll get out of this little funk.
They're going to get out of this little funk. There
we'll get out of this little funk.
The little funk right there. There's Captain Joe Espada putting it out there.
He put a little emphasis on that funk, didn't he?
A little funk.
Yeah, hey, dude.
He's listening.
They got funky with the funk.
We'll get all this little funk.
A little bit of a stretch.
The funk is a living creature.
I ain't got it. What movie's that?
It's a YouTube video. Old Greg.
Oh.
All right.
I'm old Greg.
Before this is hijacked.
We'll get all this little funk.
To the funk. Like George Clinton's about to start getting played here in a second from Tyler. He's going to really funk it up.
We'll get all this little funk.
What was it that was most disappointing to you last night in this ball game?
I mean, clearly all the strikeouts, you know, that with bases loaded in particular, and just again, it just I've never's a long time. I just it is hard for me to watch, and maybe this is 2024 Major League Baseball, but there is zero thought. And it don't matter who the batter is. It's top to bottom, man. There is zero thought of swinging for contact when you got bases loaded and one out. Or man at second, no outs. I mean, there is just the just swinging out of your shoes, the trying to hit the ball out of the park, it is hard for me to watch, man. So, look, when you look at Jake Meyers, he just had zero chance. Two different times late in that ball game with bases loaded. That one chaps my hide. But, you know, the struggles at the plate with the Astros are obviously a big deal here. But with that said, the Astros had a lead in the 8th and they had a lead in the 10th. And you got to find a way to win that game. You got to find a way to win that game, whether we're talking about just pitchers that just let one get away from them and just hang it up there for them to hit to the moon and back, which both guys did. You talk about needing to score more runs with runners in scoring position and move guys around the bases kind of deal. It was an unbelievably frustrating loss once again.
No, I know that there's a thought of like, all right, man, we struggled, we snuck it up, but God, come on. Guys, we should be depending on Presley get us through the 8th. I just don't know what it's going to take for Brian Abreu to secure the 8th inning. I don't know what I've been calling it from the start of the season. I know Presley's going to have to pitch at some point, but, man, it feels like to me that's who should be at least facing the toughest part of the lineup. But I agree with all that. And, man, they got major league players, man. There's 7 guys at one point through pinch hits and everything, who occupied 6 through 9. I mean, you just can't go 0-for-14 and leave 20 men on base.
Ouch. Boy, I didn't know it was that bad.
I mean, they're a total of 7 guys who hit through 9 They went 0 for 14 and left 20 men on base. Jake left 6 on his own. Cabbage left 6 on his own as well.
Well, this is not good.
Well, hell, their top five hitters can't be much better.
I mean, just
I mean, there wasn't but a couple of hits. I mean,
stop being a dumpster fire.
You're talking about you have to win some close games. You have to win some low scoring close games. And when team when it's a division
seven
team,
dudes,
when it's a division team and they gift you. I mean, you scored run number 2 on an infield hit. Again, I don't know why in the hell the third baseman was playing behind the bag. He had no chance of getting out Altuve at the plate. And then all of a sudden, you hit pitches. Hit batters. I'm sorry. Gifted you a run. You're just gifted leads, man, and you somehow piss it away. That's frustrating.
Well, they have added a new player and a very, very young player. The Astros are calling up their number 4 prospect in their system, Zach DiZenzo. He is going to join this group, play some first base, some infield. He's only played 11 games above Double A in Triple A Sugarland, but has had some success while being in Sugarland, so I don't know. Maybe he's in the lineup tonight. Now, that's going to be a tough lineup if I have to do the lineup.
Yeah, if Jake's not in it, you're going to do it,
Zaxter,
huh? Come on.
Zaxter.
Come on.
Zaxter. Zach Attack.
You better start doing some Googling
some
Zach, right now.
Some Zach Attack. You know, we'll fill something out. But they're going to the well, and not really surprised, as Dana said, they may try to look at some young guys.
Big 3-3, number 3.
We talked about the situation with Brandon Ayuk and the Steelers, and their conversations have been re-engaged this earlier today. But also late last night, it was reported that the 49ers have deal framework in place with the Browns or the Patriots for Brandon Ayuk. So it looks like, Clint, and I'm a bit surprised. I thought they would just kind of wait this out a year. It looks like Brandon Ayuk is going to be on the move. It's going to be on the move, and it looks like it's going to be coming over to the AFC. And the Patriots are clearly in one space, but this would be a serious add to the Browns and a serious add to the Steelers if they were able to bring
it. Yeah, I mean, look, it's interesting. A guy wants out and wants that big contract, but only wants it with one team. I mean, the way this thing seems to be playing out is the 49ers got the deal that they want in place with the Browns and the Patriots, and Brandon Ayuk needs to okay it, but Brandon Ayuk don't want to play with the Browns and the Patriots.
Well, clearly, as Styler just said, Josina Anderson reports that the Patriots are out at this point. So now it's these two.
Steelers and Niners.
Steelers and Browns right now.
Steelers and Niners. Josina, I'm sorry, is also reporting or
the deal's
they
done.
Could, they, no. That they could be getting in on this. Not. I know the Niners aren't, and on Ayuk, he's
yes,
there.
Yes,
Steelers, yes.
And Browns. We've heard those two. So those NFC North teams try to. And I've heard some thoughts that the Browns may have to give up Amari Cooper. So that would kind of change things. But if the Browns are rolling with Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, and Brandon Ayuk with David Njoku and Chubb potentially coming back,
Cleveland soon, may have their first. Was it a 4,000-yard passer?
No, that's the Bears.
But it'd been the same thing in Cleveland? There's something like that in Cleveland.
I thought Baker's done that.
There's something. Well, maybe it's a bigger number, but there's something like that in Cleveland. Hell, I remember John repeating it 8,000 times when Deshaun was
out there. We'll see if that dude is ready to roll, but that could be a serious situation. George Pickens and Brandon Ayuk on the outside. That'd be interesting, too. All right, coming up, the star of camp, and really he is, as Clint said, ever since that scuffle with Dalton Schultz, Derek Stingley Jr. has really taken things to another level, and I think there's something that we really got to get into about what this could mean with him on this defense for the Texans. That's coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Get all this little funk.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Hey, man, reports are, and we heard it from John Harris. If you missed that earlier, he was on with us at 2:40. He gave it a full breakdown. Multiple picks from Derek Stingley Jr. off of C.J. Stroud. One where he went over and apparently went up with Nico Collins and was able to get a pick and got himself in good position, according to John Harris. And then another one, a pick six off C.J. Stroud. And it looks like he's looking like what you said the day he was drafted, what he needs to be.
Now you're a Texan, man.
Yeah, it looks like Derek Stingley is that. John said he thinks Derek's going to be in the team pitcher of the top three of the league.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, look, Johnny Harris is obviously high on the young fella, which I don't know anybody that isn't really high on him, but best hands on the team, top three corner in the league. That's a bold statement given what we've seen. I don't think it's a stretch. I don't think he's crazy for having those opinions at all. I mean, Derek Stingley is clearly a guy with an extremely high ceiling. He has played very little football, relatively speaking, and he is, you want to talk about a trajectory of becoming one of the best, he's on it. There's no doubt there. But it's interesting to me, Ron, if you look at kind of how this training camp has gone, which we discussed a little bit earlier with Johnny. It was early on, the first week, maybe 10 days of camp, not 10 days, first week of camp, this offense was making a statement and making it a point to be more aggressive and take some shots downfield. And it just seemed like, I don't think it was by design, but it just seemed like they had no problem if a go route was called and Derek Stingley happened to be on that wide receiver and there was no deep help, and they were going to take that shot on Derek Stingley. And they took advantage of him a couple of times, got behind him a couple of times. And then comes the day when the scuffle happened, right? It clearly, he was having a really, really good day that day before the scuffle, but then the scuffle happens. He clearly doesn't have a problem letting Dalton Schultz and everybody else know that whatever went down ain't gonna happen on his watch. He continues to have a great day that day, and he has continued to show out ever since. And it's all culminated today in practice, where you got bad weather, but there's three facets here, if you will. One, he undercuts Tank Dell on a speed cut out route. One of the best route runners. I am very confident in saying one of the best route runners in the league. He undercuts Tank Dell on an out route to the point where he doesn't just get a PBU. He picks it and would have taken it to the house had it been. If you're running routes for Tank Dell, then you're covering it next level. Then he goes up and on a 50-50 ball that's thrown up to Nico Collins, Derek Stingley goes up and he's the winner of the 50-50 ball and gets a pick there, which was in the red zone, which would have been a huge turnover. And then we get to the point that the quarterback that's throwing these interceptions to Derek Stingley statistically was the best quarterback in the game last year, throwing for the most yards per game and the fewest interceptions. He's the best in the game as it pertains to major production and few interceptions. That is a big time statement. And one of the interceptions, I believe it was the pick six where he undercut Tank Dell. Word on the street is he threw the ball back towards the offensive sideline. And look, this is to me, this is the Derek Stingley that I'm looking for. This is the Derek Stingley that I've been waiting for. I was not as impressed, I guess. I remember a couple of years ago, everybody getting super impressed with a ball that was thrown directly to him in the end zone by Trevor Lawrence. I'm thinking that was just, hell, I think I may have been able to catch that ball, right? I mean, I think we wanted him to be good immediately, and he was injured. And then he got in there, and you wanted even more that we just kind of blew whatever he did, good, bad, or indifferent, out of proportion, right? Last year, the Amari Cooper follow, the Amari Cooper shadow, and eliminating him from the box score was the arrival of Derek Stingley Jr. But there's never been a moment, right, where you go into a game and you think the Texans got the best corner in the league. One of high ceiling, big time expectations. No question. I've had those. Love him. Wouldn't trade him. Have confidence in him. But best corner in the league. We're gonna go into games this year, Ron. And whether it's true or not, I don't think it's crazy when people say, you know what? The Texans may have the best corner in the damn league. I don't think that is an out-of-pocket, oh my God, what the hell. Now, he's got a lot of work to do. Don't get me wrong. But this is the first time where I've felt like, okay, let's have a conversation about Derek Stingley and all the tangibles and the high ceiling. As long as he can stay healthy, can he be a top corner in this league? And I think it's a real conversation.
And based off what we're seeing in training camp and based off what we saw at the end of last season, that is absolutely a fair thought, which leads me to, boy, they better be right. They better be right on that other side, Clint.
You talking about Lassiter?
Yep. And I, when I say they, I think this is more D'Amico. You better be right. Because I'll say this. I think Nick, and I think D'Amico's heavily involved, especially on the defensive side of the ball, on the personnel. But if I look at it, Nick has provided. Hey, man, you brought in a second-round pick at pick 42 at corner. You brought in Okuda. You brought in C.J. Henderson. You've added three legitimate pieces that are talented guys that could work on the other side of them. And it seems like Lassiter is who they are rolling with, and they need to be right because – we're going to start saying, man, I'm not throwing over there. What the hell am I going to throw over there for? Right? Like, if you're the Texans, I got, like, you better be right about Petrie, too, and this nickel thing. I got this. This guy right here, I'm not throwing over there.
Well, that may be, look, let's be honest. This Derek Stingley thing may be where the confidence in putting Kamari Lassiter out there from jump. That may be where it's stemming from. Because you know with Derek Stingley on the field, you can always have your free safety shadow or shade to Lassiter's side. You can always give him help over the top. You can always have Derek Stingley Jr. shadow the best receiver to assure that some of these high-powered offenses don't get Lassiter locked up on a number one receiver. Like, when it's all said and done, if Derek Stingley is healthy and playing as good a ball as he's been playing in camp, if that translates to the damn game day, then D'Amico Ryans is going to be significantly more confident in every decision, whether it be personnel or play calling. He's going to be significantly more confident in everything he does. Hell, Derek Stingley, I don't want to give him too much damn credit because it's only about a week of camp here. But hell, he may be the root of all this confidence and how confident the guys are in the interior defensive line, the ability to stop the run, the willingness or interest in putting Jalen Petrie at nickel and a second round pick, just handing him the starting corner job from jump. It may be because Derek Stingley is a guy that can be an eraser.
It's going to be crucial because they're not even going to give him a pencil to erase. They're gonna challenge everybody else. Is what they're gonna try to do is challenge 5 and 14, and they better be right in their belief that those guys can hold up in coverage during the season. So hey, Derek Stingley, yeah, he may shut off a half of the field or so to speak potentially, but you know teams are gonna get aggressive going the other way.
Absolutely
going to. All right, coming up. More news on that guy who has become a big conversation piece. That's John Metchie. He had some troubles today in the rain. We'll let you hear what his offensive coordinator, even more importantly, was talking about in terms of what he needs to see for guys like John Metchie to get playing time during the season. That's coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yeah, it really goes back to fundamentals. You know, guys that can go in and execute what we preach across the board in the pass game and the run game from the starting point fundamentally, then can go execute that in the game. And particularly if they can play multiple positions, which almost all of our backups can play multiple positions, it just helps get them on the field in different areas and different spots. And then how we approach it as an offense is we're always going to try to put people in the best position to do what they do best. You know, so we're going to make sure guys are in for specific things that they're really good at. And if they're not necessarily great at something, we'll make sure that they got 100% in the tank when their play is called.
All right, there's Bobby Slowick, the offensive coordinator, spoke today talking about what it'll take for guys, some of those receivers like Hutchinson, who showed good for himself on Thursday in the Hall of Fame game against the Bears, and guys like John Metchie and Ben Skoranek and other young receivers. What can they do to get on the field? And he talked about that, Clint, and I hate it. I felt bad when I watched it. I was on social media today, fellas, and I saw my man John Metchie look like he ran a really nice route. Put the ball right in his hand. Dropped that sucker. I just think to myself, boy, he's his last week, he can't afford to have moments like that. He can't afford to have plays like that. He's got to be able to catch the ball like that and Because what we're hearing a lot is, boy, how good he's been in practice and how much faster he's appeared in practice. And that, obviously, he didn't have the game. I think he wanted to have one catch for 4 yards against the Bears. But it feels like there's some pressure on him to start to make some plays and make some moves. And I'm not saying that's just one play in practice. But John Metchie, he's talking about fundamentals and things like that. He's got to really pick it up in practice and the rest of the way in these games coming up.
Yeah, look, he's going the wrong direction, Ron. I mean, the word on the street is that Robert Woods had a nice couple of days offensively in Cleveland over the last couple of days. Obviously, you saw what Xavier Hutchinson did in the game. And then he comes out, I think in the first practice there was a report that he went up and made a big catch over a defensive back, kind of a 50-50 jump ball in the end zone. Made a big catch there. So, yeah, I mean, look, John Metchie is clearly going the wrong direction. And like I said, look, I don't know if the grace period is up with what he went through early on in his career, not with the Texans. But as we're talking about the opportunities that he's going to have to help this team win ball games, if he doesn't pick it up in camp, and look, let's be honest, we're starting to run out of time here. Once games start, travel gets involved, weeks get short, starters start getting more of the run. I mean, he's running out of the time where he's going to be given multiple opportunities to move up the depth chart. And right now, I don't know how you have John Metchie any higher than 8 or 9 on this depth chart of wide receivers.
Yeah, when you say things like, you know, Robert Woods having a good week, we saw Hutchinson and what he did, and he's been – you're right. John Metchie has to do more than just be solid at this point. Like, we're going to need to hear John Metchie had him a day. Or John Metchie made some plays here. Or John, like, he's going to have to be a talk of the offense one day. Or something soon. Or something of a preseason game. Like, he's going to have to start to make some plays. Like, not just be... Yeah. He's got to be past the, no mistakes thing. He's got to make some plays.
Well, yeah, and here's the interesting thing about John Metchie. I've never viewed John as highly as most folks did before the sickness and before the illness. He's not a guy, Ron, that has the ability to go out there and high point a couple of balls on a really good defensive back and make these wow catches. He's not a guy that has the ability to just run away from man coverage the way most second round receivers do. And so one of the reasons that I'm so bullish on he's going to have a hard, very difficult, damn near impossible time climbing this depth chart is because he's going to have to do it in a slot receiver, possession receiver kind of way. And they've already got a guy that can't separate. They've already got a guy that's never going to high point balls on a D. They've already got a guy that they trust. They've already got a guy that knows the offense like the back of his hand, that can play all the positions and can really help you in that slot position. That's Robert Woods, and guess what? He's making plays this week and Metchie's not. So the only way for me that Metchie would be able to make a push would be, if we're being honest about how his play style, he would have to stack several days on top of each other, like Xavier Hutchinson had Thursday in that game. Like, he'd have to have several of those days, right place, right time, just
he needs
enough
some
separation.
Woo damn moments.
Yeah, I just don't, Ron. I don't know that he's got woo damn moments,
or at least woo damn production.
Wow.
Like, I mean, he need a Pittsburgh game of 7 for 75. Like, yeah. I don't care how it's done.
He's got to be a guy, Ron, that has great feel for the zone coverages and sitting in the voids and great chemistry with the quarterback and, you know, the little nuances within his route running and just enough twitch to create that separation and give CJ a spot to throw the ball. And look, the handful of reps that he really got pretty good reps actually Thursday night, the ball comes his way and he doesn't have the ability to just create that little bit of separation so it's not a bang-bang play on a slant on 3rd and 5. I mean, those are reps that he's got to win if he has any chance. And I just, he's running out of opportunity.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And based off what Slowick just described, I don't know if that's what it sounds like. Sound like people was pissing off Bobby Slowick earlier today.
You know, old Bobby wasn't real happy about them questions, was he?
And Bobby's not gonna be like Mike Dicker and just you know go off on somebody, but you can tell when Bobby gets annoyed. Tyler, we walked in. Tyler hits us with, yeah, I think Bobby's a little frustrated today with some of these questions. You could tell just by the start of and he had a couple of starts of just to clarify to let you know where I know he walked away. Clint cussed about it.
Dang it, Bobby!
You know he walked. Tyler, what's one of the ones where he was asked about the offense.
This one was whenever Slowick was asked about the depth of the receiver room.
Oh yeah. He had already this happened two times.
Yeah,
where Bobby felt like he had already addressed this, and Bobby's a nice guy.
A little agitated.
This is the Bobby.
Yeah, I just answered this one also, but it's kind of it's a cool room.
The also kills me.
I mean, this one also. Doesn't he feel like he looked at the person out the corner of his eye, or did he even look at him when he said it? Yeah.
I just answered this one also. But
this is the point in camp. Because you know how the media game works, right? We've all been out there. You start getting questions that have nothing to do with the practice that just took place, that have everything to do with somebody's writing a story. Yeah, right. Yeah. And instead of pulling the coach off to the side and asking the questions,
or just listening to the one he just answered,
right? Well, it wasn't couched right. You can't assume, right? And I need it to be responded to in this way. You just ran down the list of all the wide receivers, but it was really a question about Tank Dell. Now, my question is about the room as a whole. So I know you just ran down the wide receivers, but the room as a whole, how do you feel about it?
I just hit that. But
this is the point in camp where. Those questions are going to get under coach's skin.
Yeah, I just hit that.
I've never heard Bobby.
No, yeah,
I'm surprised that it's Bobby.
He did it twice, didn't he? He did it twice another time where it's just, yeah.
I just hit that. You're all right. But
you're right.
I mean, basically. Right.
He said it. Somebody should have yelled, pause, pause. You didn't just hit. You just hit that.
You've annoyed me, but you're all right, dude. Pause. You're all right.
Did you all ever refer to sex with a young lady as you hit that?
Yeah, Akon.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a serious question?
I just wondered, did you use that lingo? Did you say, oh yeah, man, I hit that.
It's common lingo. I didn't know if you were.
Yeah,
human being that was partaking in those things?
I bet you never
said that.
I bet you there are several people listening right now that know what it means, but don't use the phrase "damn." Yeah, I hit that.
Well, I mean, even if you weren't talking about you using the frame, like my boy Ron hit that.
Like you said that. Yeah,
absolutely. You haven't ever been somewhere when and some dime piece walks in and somebody with you is like, good God, look at that. I'm like, hey, man.
He been there.
My boy JG hit that.
I just didn't know. I didn't
do
know.
What you want with it. I'm just letting you know.
He hit that.
I'm not telling you dated her. I'm just telling you that I'm pretty sure. I didn't watch, but I'm pretty sure it went on.
There are some phrases that are said that I've never, like, I know what they mean. I've never said. Like, I've never in my life said Eskimo Brothers.
I've heard it. I've never used that term.
Yeah, I know it. That's I've never. Like it's hard for me. That's hard for me to see, like, at any point in Tyler Milner's life. And Tyler was like, yeah, I hit that, dog.
I remember I was introduced.
You don't think Tyler's I hit that guy?
I don't think Tyler is. I don't think
that's ever been my go-to.
I don't think you have. Oh man, look at her boy. I'm gonna hit that.
I definitely think he's.
I remember when Eskimo Bros. Whenever that term was introduced to me right after a toga party at A&M.
I think he's thought that but phrased it differently. I couldn't take Tyler as someone texted in as I smashed guy.
I was never that guy.
We are definitely tipping our toe in the water of being interested in Tyler and what he's like in the set.
We're not a grand mystery.
Okay,
what is producer Tyler we're flirting with it,
that's for sure. We're not curious of how you what your performance in the sack. We just want to know how you referred to it afterwards.
It's a phrasing. I just wanted to know if you guys I said it to both of you. Like, I'm not having no interest in how you are in the sec. Tap that. I could see Tyler.
No, definitely. Never.
Tyler has said yes in his.
Never been one to coin that phrase. I've seen. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone said hit no, but tag yes. Damn.
Tagged.
I'm gonna tag that.
Tag that. Boy, now you're getting real old school and super white.
I mean, is that old school super? I ain't heard tag.
I mean, that's something big. That's something Big Earn would have said on that church pew in the front yard and thought he was really cool. Hey, John, you tagged that? Yeah, that's something. That's way back in the day.
Damn, man, my man here on. I ain't gonna put who out who said that. My man said, "I'm Eskimo Brothers with my cousin. He doesn't know yet."
Well, unless it just became the true, then you may want to keep that one from him. Just let's not cross that bridge, Chief.
Oh, Eskimo Bros can be a special bond now.
Yeah, I'm
wouldn't have
you.
To be a bad thing.
Tyler's I'm gonna drop the hammer guy. Yeah, I can, or I'm gonna go balls deep. Yeah, I that feels like a Tyler.
No, I'm still. I gotta figure T out. Nah.
I like to keep them on their toes. Mysterious.
He's a wrestle in the sheets or something kind of guy. I mean, that, you know what I mean?
Hey, you want a tussle?
That was not a sexual bark, man. That was like a...
It is if I want it to be.
That's right. If she that likes like, it, Angel Tyler.
I got to get out.
If I'm in my banana hammock down on all fours and I start barking like that, that's a sexual bark.
Tell me you don't want
to... You can't say it's not.
Tell me you don't want to respond with, have you ever been in that position barking, really, in that hammock? I mean, does Megan really like that?
What do you have coming up at the floor is what I want to say.
All right, we had a Houston Texan carted off the field today. We'll tell you who that was, get you the details of that. And then Bobby Slowick, when he speaks, it's usually a little football horny audio in there somewhere. But he did speak about Blake Fisher, the guy that could potentially be the answer for the old card off. We will have that audio, and we'll discuss all of that next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.